You're listening to Talk the Rock. We have a pretty busy half hour planned for you today. So we're starting with a recently published book through the Lutic Museum about graphic arts. And then we're going to transition onto Confish, which is Kodiak's commercial fisheries trade show. And we have Trevor from the Chamber, Trevor Brown from the Chamber of Commerce, to talk about that. And so why don't we start with who we have in the room with us today. April, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and also the title of this book.
Sure. Chamai, everybody. My name is April Lactonin Counselor. I'm the executive director of the Lutic Museum here in Kodiak, and we're here to talk about the Igahwachichbit book. Igahwachichbit means our way of making designs.
And what's the difference between a graphic arts book versus a arts book, or how is this different?
Well, graphic arts are a specific category of art. They are a two-dimensional form of art. So graphic arts could be anything that is produced on a flat object or a piece of paper, or it could be a design that's painted or otherwise placed on the outside of a three-dimensional object. So if you had a box with paintings on it, those paintings would be considered graphic arts, but the box in its entirety would maybe be cultural arts or ethnographic arts.
So what was it like putting this book together? When did you begin?
Gosh, it's been over a year that we've been putting the book together. It's been a pretty big project with a lot of different contributors in the community, and even outside of the community, people who have left town and are still involved in the Aleutic arts movement or in research on Aleutic arts. And so there are quite a few different contributors. A couple of them we have here with us today, but there are a lot of names that people will recognize.
All right, so why don't we go ahead and introduce ourselves, starting with Odell over here.
My name is Molly Odell. I'm a project manager at the Aleutic Museum, and I manage the project that was responsible for producing this book. And so I was sort of in charge of making sure all the pieces came together on time and made it through the production process.
I'm Chamai. I'm Susan Malutin, and I'm a culture bearer and had the opportunity to have an article in the book.
Hello, Joanne Knight. I'm the Arts and Culture Coordinator for KIBSD, and my role in the project is helping to coordinate resources from the museum and the other partners and bring them to our teachers, specifically our early career teachers.
All right. So I know that there are a few different chapters included in the book. One is about symbols. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know that you were involved in that.
Yeah, the symbols chapter, I believe, was drafted or written by Alicia Drabeck, who's a former executive director of the Aleutic Museum and a pretty well-known Aleutic scholar. We have also articles that were produced by other artists, such as Lena Amison Burns from Old Harbor and Gloria Selby, originally from Afognak. Sven Hawkinson Jr., the other Aleutic Museum former executive director, assisted on a number of different sections, but also produced an essay about carving petroglyphs to teach people about what it's like to reproduce the ancient art of petroglyphs. And so there are other chapters on rock art, designs in slate, and then different types of painting, body art, which includes body painting and tattooing, and then the kind of more theoretical approach of understanding the different symbolism that appears throughout different Aleutic arts in history.
Yeah, and did you write a chapter?
Well, I wrote a couple of different sections for the book. I worked with our Fluent Aleutic Elders group to create a Aleutic language glossary for the book, and that's always a lot of fun to work with the elders to sometimes make new words for things that we don't have words for, or to remember kind of older, obscure words that are not in active use. I also contributed to the preface of the book, and my favorite contribution is my essay about Aleutic visual multiliteracies.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. What multiliteracies are different types of literacy. So we usually think about literacy as being able to read, like we learn in school. But reading words in a book is only one type of way that we decode information in our environment. For example, even in American culture, there are certain things that we do, certain clothing that we wear, or belongings that we show off that might say something about our status or our education level or our culture. And it was very similar in ancient or classical Aleutic society, where people had sort of this unconscious knowledge of what all of these different things meant in their environment. In addition, we also had pictography, which is the use of pictographs or written images to convey communication. And then we also had sign language, which doesn't quite fall under the graphic arts heading, but is definitely related.
Okay, and so how did you tap into culture bearers like Susan to help kind of round out the content?
Well, the Aleutic Museum staff approached a number of different artists who have been involved in Aleutic Museum programs and educational outreach in the past. And Susan here, who was involved in producing the essay about, you know, learning about Aleutic colors and producing beautiful objects through skin sewing, we wanted to have kind of different types of Aleutic modern contemporary arts represented. And so that was one of the reasons we asked Susie to participate, but also with Lena Amison Burns out in Old Harbor. I think one of the messages when we are using words and communication from our modern artists is that the Aleutic tradition of graphic arts and Aleutic arts in general, there's a continuity there. Even some of the modern items we produce today in plastic or glass, there's still a sort of thread of Aleutic culture that is visible in the arts going back thousands of years.
Susan, could you tell us a little bit about what you worked on?
It was an essay on, of course, skin sewing and also the color representation in the Aleutic traditions and culture, and how they intertwined in not just clothing, but in other items that were produced by Aleutic people. So in teaching also, and in traveling and noticing different items throughout the museums, how those colors are still as vibrant and were similarly produced by different areas, and then how it became apparent that our culture here, the Aleutic culture, had specific patterns that they used. And that is what helped identifies items that we find in museums or in different areas that belong to our culture here.
And so how have you managed to bring this to the school district then? This book?
Well, not just with this book, but we work closely with the Arts Council and the museum and form a big partnership around our teachers. And we bring workshops in, teaching artists in arts labs, mm-hmm. other opportunities to learn. The museum's extending scholarships to send teachers out to Digifognak this summer. So this book is just a wonderful collection of all the resources that we've started to learn about in the last year and a half.
Could you speak a little bit about the project that you represent at the school district?
Sure. It's a project that involves Kodiak College, Aleutic Museum, the State Arts Council, the local arts council, and the school district. And the idea is to support early career teachers, and the premise is that we can do that with a lot of professional development in and around teaching in and through the arts and cultures of Kodiak.
All right. Do you guys have a favorite part of the book? Or one that you particularly like? No pressure.
Well, my personal favorite, of course, is the section on the pictographs, just because I'm sort of obsessed with it right now, and I know there's a lot more research that needs to be done. I think one of the really great things about this book is that all of this information, or much of it, has never been published or made available to the public before. There's a big hunger for more knowledge and understanding of what the symbols in Alutiiq arts mean, or the cultures, like, or the colors, sorry, like Susie mentioned. And so I think everyone has kind of a sort of a favorite topic. I know that when we were sharing a couple of images from the book on Facebook, there was a lot of reaction to the face painting and tattooing imagery. And so I know that members of the public are curious about that. And I'm kind of curious to what some of our other guests are liking about the book as well, because I'm constantly talking about what I like.
Overall, I think my favorite aspect of the book is, as you pick it up, even if you've only been in Kodiak several months, you're going to recognize location and names of actual real people that are in and out of Kodiak. So you're holding a book that's professionally developed, yet it feels familiar already.
There are so many types of Alutiiq art, you know, that I'm familiar with, having grown up in Kodiak, you know, seeing images of the petroglyphs everywhere. But the, you know, this book really ties a lot of different mediums of Alutiiq art together over long periods of time, over hundreds and thousands of years. And that was what was really cool for me watching this book come together, was understanding those threads, what ties those threads of Alutiiq art together, and the symbolism that ties them all together over thousands of years.
The one thing that I do appreciate is the fact that all of the different artists and the museum staff and the school staff were willing to share. Again, not to put the book on the shelf and forget about it, or the information in a drawer, but to culminate all of it and share it in a book so everyone can understand and visualize the culture and become part of it. Because now when they go out, another member of the public, and they see something maybe in a bay or something, they're going to be able to recognize it and pass that information on that may not have been known about. So I think in that respect, that's a good reference book, a good source of material, and letting others know about what is still out there to find.
And this book is available for purchase at the Alutiiq Museum?
That is correct. It's at the Alutiiq Museum store and also available through the museum's online store on the website.
Okay. When did you guys release it?
We released it about 2 weeks ago, I think. It's only been out for a short amount of time, so we're still just getting the word out that it's published.
All right. Is there anything else you guys want to say? I think we're going to transition over to Confish, which involves some jazz tunes in a second here. But it's your last chance to leave a lasting impression of this wonderful book before people get to see it themselves in person.
Yeah, I would just like to thank everyone that helped on it, because it really was a group effort. You know, Amy Steffian was the lead author for the Alutiiq Museum, but she pulled in so many different voices for this publication that it really feels like a community effort, and I hope people enjoy it.
All right. We're going to put some jazz on for a couple of minutes, and then when we come back, we'll have some guests talking about Confish. So hold tight.
Begins to fall. Pitter patter, pitter patter. Love is gone, so what can matter? No sweet love, a man to call. When sunny gets blue, she breathes a sigh of sadness, like the wind that stirs the trees. Wind that sets the leaves to swing, like some violins are playing weird and haunting melodies. Used to love to hear her laugh, see her smile. That's how she got her name.
Since that sad affair, she's lost her smile and changed her style. Somehow she's not the same. But memories will fade and pretty dreams will rise up where her other dreams fell through. Hurry, new love, hurry here. Kiss away these lonely tears and hold her near when sunny gets blue.
Back, you're listening to Talk of the Rock. And we have three whole new individuals with us sitting in the room to talk about the commercial fisheries trade show that we have yearly. And Trevor Brown from the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. Why don't you introduce what you do with the Chamber of Commerce and what Confish is?
Sure. Well, look at the Chamber of Commerce, obviously, we do a number of events, Confish Crab Fest, Coast Guard Appreciation. We're here today to talk about Confish, which starts on Thursday. We have a number of events. I'm just going to touch the trade show. We have 42 booths, actually 43 booths. 12 of them are new, so get down there and check out the new equipment and stuff. Number of engines, nets, good stuff like that.
This is all fisheries stuff?
All fisheries related, government agencies, nonprofits, and a lot of gear this year. So, yeah, the show itself is going to be pretty good. We have a number of receptions. Teresa's got one. I'll let her talk about that on Wednesday night. There's one at the show on Thursday night that's going to be Trident putting that on, along with Samson and APL. They're going to have some of their new seafood for the year, and that's always a great event. We've done that this will be the third year, and it's a great turnout and great food and beverages and things like that on there. And that'll be from 4 to 6. Teresa, do you want to talk about your Wednesday night, and then we'll get into the forums?
Teresa, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi there. I'm Teresa Peterson. I've been involved working with Confish in the forums for, oh gosh, about 14 years now, and I work with the Alaska Marine Conservation Council. And so this year, again, this is going to be our fourth annual kickoff event tomorrow night, Wednesday, down at the Kodiak Island Brewery from 4 to 6. It's what we're calling Fish Taco Night at the brewery. And we're going to have Black Rock Fish Tacos prepared by the Association of Latin Women of Alaska in an authentic fashion with their homemade sauce, salsas. And the fish is donated by a couple jig fishermen, Ryan Horwith and Mark Blakesley, that caught them just right in front of town. And then they donate the fish, and Global Seafoods donates the processing. So it's really a kind of a celebratory event. We have a suggested donation of $5, and that's going to go to the Kodiak Maritime Museum's Thelma Sea Project to help build the cradle and continue on with their projects they have down on the waterfront. And that's sponsored by the Alaska Marine Conservation Council and Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, who are coming in town and doing a presentation the following morning at 10.
Yeah, what's a Thelma Sea?
The Thelma Sea is one of the vessels that was built for the salmon fishery. And it's one of our oldest vessels. It's a wood vessel that was completely restored back to its traditional structure by funding from the Kodiak Maritime Museum, and they've built a cradle for it, and it's going to be sitting down out on the what's that called on the spit right by Trident. And so they're looking on looking at raising funds to build a cover fort, and then also putting together some innovative informational signs so that people have a sense of the history of our fishing community when they come to visit.
Right, and speaking of history, this event has been going on for quite a few years.
39 years.
Right, so did it start as this kind of forum meets vendor fair?
No, it started out as a gear tent at Crab Festival, and then it expanded from there, I believe, to the armory, and from the armory to the Coast Guard base. When it was out there, it was 250, 260 booths while we were taking over the 200-mile limit, expanding the commercial fleet. A lot of new boats, a lot of equipment. As we capitalized the fishery, it went more back from building new boats and buying new gear to just maintaining. And so the show itself just contracted. We went to the high school, and now with the convention center opened, we were the first event in there. We were setting up booths as they were laying carpet, and I think that was probably 11 years ago, 10 years ago, I think. But we got a great lineup for forums this year. We have the Lieutenant Governor coming, possibly Congressman Young, depending on the federal funding vote on Friday. If he can get out Thursday morning and they got that settled, he'll be here on Friday afternoon. But the Lieutenant Governor is confirmed for 11:45 on Thursday. We also have some great topics for the climate change and the cod disaster stuff that I'm going to let Julie touch on Thursday.
Hey, Julie.
Yeah, so my name is Julie Bonney, and I own the business Alaska Groundfish Data Bank, and I'm on the board for the chamber. And Therese and I serve on the fish committee, so we're big on helping Comfish get organized and out the door. So there's really, I know Byron Malott is very interested in climate change and the impact on commercial fishing, so he wanted to be linked up with those presentations since I think he wants to hear about the science and the new information. But we have Mike Litzo, and he's with University of Alaska Fairbanks, and he's going to be talking about what climate change means and how that's going to affect our fisheries into the future. So that's the first panel, and it starts at 12:30 on Thursday. Then we have two PhDs coming in from the Alaska Science Center to talk about the Gulf of Alaska Endless Summer when we had the warm blog that happened in 2014, 15, and 16. One is Stephanie Zadora, and she's an ecosystem expert, and so she's going to be talking about what happened during that time frame in terms of the broader ecosystem, marine bird die-offs, whale die-offs, how the food chain changed to what the temperature looked like, and how the, you know, there was a lot of change in current, weather patterns, a lot of impacts in the ecosystem overall. And then she's going to be followed by Dr. Barbeau, Steve Barbeau. He's the assessment author for cod. And he's, if you're involved in the cod fishery, you really should come listen to him, because he's going to talk about what happened during the warm blog in terms of where the cod went. But he's also going to be talking about what the future looks like and what's going to happen with the cod stock in terms of recruitment and things like that. So if you're interested in Pacific cod, highly recommend that you come. So really it starts at 12:30, and then those forums are going to run till about 2:30 that day. That's Thursday.
And then after that forum on Thursday, Fish and Game is going to give their salmon the salmon update for the year. And then after that, we have Trent Hartill with the I'm on the wrong page.
Yeah, I'll jump in there. Trent's the Federal Fisheries Coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and he's going to be providing some updates on both the pink salmon and the Pacific cod disasters that have been declared. And, you know, currently, of course, you know, we recognize in our fishing community when we do have these decreases of this magnitude, it affects the whole town. So both of those fisheries, the pink salmon and the Pacific cod, have been declared disasters, and there could be some potential funding coming there.
And just to highlight the fish and game presentation, really, James Jackson, who is the lead for the salmon, they really haven't come out with the forecast for pinks and reds for the Kodiak management area, so this will be the first preview of what we're looking at for this summer. So I think that will be highly interesting to if you're in the salmon fishery.
All right. And also there are some other events that are neither forums nor booths, but more for the sake of entertainment.
So we have two on Saturday, which is the processor. We're celebrating the processing sector in Kodiak. So we're going to, it's going to be very family orientated. We're talking about a fish exhibit of all the sorts of interesting things that come up off the bottom of the sea. We're also going to be doing a shark dissection. We're going to have coloring books, tattoos, cookbooks for kids that everyone that shows, assuming the supply lasts, will be given away. And then we're also having Kiss the Fish. And so there's going to be some great photo opportunities, and who knows what fishes might get kissed. So that'll be fun. And then I'll let Teresa talk about the Fisherman Forum.
Yep. Following the processor recognition, there's going to be a Fisherman Showcase. This is hosted by Alaska Sea Grant. This is the third annual Fisherman Showcase friendly competition where they get in groups of three and compete against each other with a variety of issues involving commercial fishing, coiling, throwing a hook to get the buoy. They have a timed event, getting in your survival suit as fast as you can, and they have prizes, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of a good sport, and they really do a good job of making it entertaining and moving that along.
All right, and so it looks like we just have a minute left if there's anything you guys want to add.
We didn't. So the forums and the trade show, the forums are open, are going on in the Harbor Room at the Best Western from 10 to 4 each day. The trade show is open from 10 to 5 or 6 with the receptions, and then 10 to 3 on Saturday. We didn't really touch on some of the stuff on Friday, but we got a great lineup. You can go to kodiakchamber.org to see the schedule or on our Facebook page. Like I said, possibly we're going to have Congressman Young late in the day on Friday. Louise Stutz is going to give a state update that afternoon. Teresa has a great thing going with Sea Stories. They're going to have chowder from noon to 1:30 on Friday. So that's also going to be a great event.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.